Testimonies. Been a rough week for some people. Even for Mary. Mary made it to Ottawa, or her in-law's place, her daughter's place, on Friday. She was supposed to go in the nursing home on Monday, but there was a COVID outbreak. So she got extra time with her family. So she's doing well. We haven't heard exactly how it's going on in the home yet, but we're staying in touch. I encourage you to do so. She does respond to email. So, lots going on. It's been a tough week for people. So, is there victory?
Yep.
Yes.
Always. Always. Who wants to share what God has given them to testify to His goodness and grace in our lives? Anyone? If not, I'll just get right into it.
No, I wanted to share. So Shelley and I went to the Arise Esther yesterday.
Yes, right.
And so we prayed.
Was that in Ottawa?
No, we just stayed in Guelph.
Okay.
But it was. It was actually across the country and all the different provinces.
Right.
And it was incredible.
The
presence of God that came through was unbelievable.
But
we, you know what? They prayed for every province. And this is about innocent blood, okay? Mm. The children, this is about the confusion, you know what, upon the children. Mm. And so that is what this is all about.
Yeah.
But also it was across the 50 states as well.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday.
Wow.
So very powerful, you know what? People are rising up,
yeah.
You know what? And, you know, God will get us there, right?
Amen.
And so this is happening again in October, again, and will be across Canada and across the states.
Praise the Lord.
So
He hears and answers.
I wanted to share. I went to a youth conference in Toronto a couple weekends ago. I didn't want to share because last time we met it was Easter and it just wasn't appropriate. And it was amazing because a lot of the pastors rose up and apologized to this new generation coming up for not standing up. And so now they're faced with
all this
garbage every day.
Yes.
And these teens, they forgave us and they're like, it's okay. God is building us up. We're ready. This He's called us. You should have seen the powerhouses. There was deliverance. There was freedom. They were some of them got the gift of tongues. Some like, and it was amazing. And one of the pastors, I've never seen this on an altar call, came up and said, "Listen, if you're not real and you don't want to be a new person and you don't want to serve Jesus with your whole heart, don't come up. Don't. Because these times are too hard. We can't have." Washed down, watered down. We need these teenagers and young adults to rise up and fight. And it was amazing. It was really, it was encouraging as a new youth leader in the body of what's going on.
Yep.
And I got together with other leaders from Guelph, and we want to make something happen in Guelph. So I'll keep you in tune, in touch with that. But yeah, it was amazing. Very encouraging.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is moving. And if you watch the news, you will know that Iran bombed Israel.
Yep.
And so we need to pray for the that whole situation. Everyone's afraid it's going to escalate into some big war. It may. God is in charge, right? And God will defend His people.
Yep.
There is a movement, a return to the Lord, I would say.
Yes.
To the biblical God.
Yes.
And coming away from this, maybe a Christianity that was not so biblical.
Mm-hmm.
We're returning to the Word, which is really encouraging.
Yes.
And most of all, returning to the God of the Bible, not the God of our imagination. So when I was, you know, I'm always saying, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? It's actually that very thing. It's first, let them know I'm God. Second, let them know I'm with them.
Yeah.
And third, let them know that I want to equip them for the battle ahead. And I sent out the email, and Psalm 18 was on there, and so I'd like to go there this morning. Let me just pray first. Psalm 18. I thank you, Lord, that you're on the throne.
Yes,
Lord. You're on the throne of our lives. Lord, we have no one else to turn to, for there is no other God or Lord or Savior. You're it. I thank you, Lord, that you are there in the midst of all the chaos and we can turn to you. And not only that, Lord, that you equip your people for battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you prepare us for what's about to come. And Lord, as we hear, there's a generation rising up, standing and fighting, not with weapons of the world, but with weapons of our warfare.
Amen.
That are mighty for pulling down strongholds. And so we thank you, Lord, for this generation, which we're all part of, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For the young and the old gathering together, even as your word says that young men and old men will see visions and dreams. And Lord, we're seeing that come to fruition.
Yeah.
Equip us, Lord. We're people of God. We're mighty in power because of who's in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, we're choosing this day not to serve the gods of this world, because there are none, but to serve the living, eternal, almighty God of the Bible. So Lord, speak to us according to our need. Speak to us according to our lack.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you want to train up a generation for such a time as this. And we open our ears and our hearts to receive what you want to say to us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let me just read Psalm 18, verse 1 to 3. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. That is a psalm of David. David, mighty man of God, human, but human filled with the power of God, had the anointing of God on him and the favor of God upon his life. And he fought many, many battles. And even this one, he writes, as it says at the beginning, the servant of the Lord who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. Delivered him from all his enemies. So this is a song of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
The song of, first of all, establishing and knowing who is the God you serve. Who have you put your faith into? And I want to encourage you, that's where it all starts. Is the God you believe in, the God you serve, the God of the Bible? Is he shaped by the word of God? Or is he shaped by experiences and doubts and fears? Because we really need a revelation of who God is. Okay? When you really need to believe in the God of the Bible. And I just want to stress that to the max. It's been a tough week, as I said, for lots of us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're struggling with physical, whether you're struggling with loss, all kinds of issues going on. And there's two ways to get through life, as you know. Right? There's with God and without God.
Right.
Now, as people of God, we have God on our side.
That's right.
We not only have him on our side, he's in us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more than in us. He wants to bring us to the level of warrior. And that might be foreign to some of you, but God really impressed the scripture on my heart, because he wants to teach you how to be a fighter in these times.
Yeah, good.
And the verses that I want to focus on this morning say exactly that. And so let's go, I'm just going to start in verse 29 of Psalm 18. David makes this bold statement, which I love. I love this line. I'm using the American Standard. By thee, O God, I can run upon a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not talking a little two-foot wall here. We're talking big wall, fortress wall. And we're not talking, one or two people. We're talking an army of people. He's fearless and able, and with God, he has this incredible courage to run against this enemy that's standing before him. And if you read 1st, 2nd Samuel and 1st, 2nd Kings, you'll find men of God in there who are defeating 1,000 soldiers at once. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one, there's so many great descriptions where one just kept swinging his sword, and it was he swung it so much and so long that they couldn't even stop his grip off the sword. They had to
pry
his fingers off. He defeated hundreds and hundreds of soldiers. If you've ever seen the movie Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
you know those little dwarf guys, and they're just surrounded by orcs everywhere, and they're just swinging and. Like, that's the picture I get, right? And that's the picture God wants us to have. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is, how many there are, he wants to train us for battle. He wants to equip us for the battle ahead of us. And so he says in verse 30, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. great truth, right? He's a shield. Who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? And that's where I want to start. Because that's where we need to start this morning. Who is the God you believe in? Is he the God of the Bible? Is he the only wise, all-powerful, everlasting, almighty God of the universe?
Yes.
Amen. Because there is only one.
Right, only right. One.
If it's not the God of the Bible, it's a false
right.
God.
That's right.
Okay? That's Paul says that very clearly. All idols are made up. There's no such thing as an idol. It's nothing. It's crafted by man.
Piece of wood.
Piece of wood, piece of silver, whatever it is. You know, one. You start a fire with one piece of wood, and then you make a god on the other half.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
People are like that. Who is God but the Lord? Is the God of the universe your Lord? That means, is he in charge? Is he your master? Do you work for him? Or are you his servant? He's a rock. We just sang that. He's a rock. That literally this big, unshakable, solid foundation that cannot be moved. Okay, that's the picture. Yet, in the midst of all this majestic glory of who he is and solid and immovable, he's this. Verse 32. The God who girds me with strength. The God who is beside me. The God who... I've got four different translations here, okay? It is God who arms me with strength. Jordan Peterson in the Message says, is not this the God who armed me, then aimed me in the right direction? Okay, I want to dwell on that for a moment because I had a picture while I was just praying, meditating, of a father who dresses his kid and sends him out into the world. Okay, and it's a real picture of submission, of a child saying, Daddy, I want you to dress me for what's out there. Okay. And, you know, these guys used to, when they were young, we bought them the full armor of God,
mm-hmm.
the plastic
awesome.
Set, and we put it on them, and we teach them to fight with the sword and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And so when I thought of this, it's just an amazing picture of a father who spends time with his children to get them ready to face what's out there, to strengthen them, what strengthen to encourage, okay, to build them up in their faith. And this is the picture of our God. Can you imagine? And I thought, this is discipleship 101. Our job is to encourage each other. It's a tough world out there. It's a tough life. Guess where we spend most of our time? In the world.
Right.
You can't hide out in church. It's not Christianity. So strength. He arms me. He dresses me with strength. Strength literally is power, ability, valor, substance, riches, wealth, army. He prepares me for the battle. And it's Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? Now, we really got to get this in our spirit this morning because the strengthening comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
And how do we strengthen? How do we get strengthened? We get strengthened by him, but we have to sit and allow him to strengthen us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to go all over the place, but because as I'm talking, you know, there's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths, okay? So we have this tendency, maybe men struggle a little more than women, of wanting to lean on our own understanding, doing things ourselves, get ourselves out of trouble. And that's not what God is saying. He said, I want to strengthen you. You can't do anything without my strength. And I'm willing to sit there and equip you. If you just sit in my presence and be still and know that I'm God and let me put on the full armor of God, let me bless you and equip you for whatever it is you're going to face. Then he says, he makes my way secure. He makes my way perfect, blameless. Now this word is very interesting because it means physically and spiritually blameless, complete, intact, clear of impediments. He removes obstacles. Okay? It's a way that is, there's going to be tough times.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to make it so you can travel through it.
Yes,
okay?
Yeah.
You got to let God lead. The road is difficult, but God is there to equip you to walk the road, okay? And then he gives this illustration, verse 33. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer.
Mm.
as sure-footed as deer, enabling me or causing me to stand on mountain heights. Now, this is a great verse. There's actually a book written about it. Have you ever heard this book? In the Old King James says, hind's feet on high places. He says, he gives me hind's feet on high places. To be able, hind's feet is a female deer, okay? And female deer climbing up the sides of these cliffs, they're very agile. And they're able to literally put both feet on one little surface at the same time.
Yeah.
So they can find a little spot where they can place both feet and then move these feet and get even all 4 feet on that little spot. Mm-hmm. They're very agile creatures, okay? I know we don't have 4 feet, thank God, because we don't know what to do with them. But it's just a picture of sure-footedness, okay, of steadiness. And God says in his word, he makes my feet like hind's feet and sets me upon high places. Now, you get a picture. He doesn't want you down here. He wants you climbing up, right? And there's only one way to do that. God exalts the humble. He gets the humble to the top. It's total dependence on him. And so, feet like a female deer, sure-footed, able to stand on precarious places. They see ahead. Deer know exactly where they're going. They can see ahead and know, okay, that's my next spot. Okay? And so, they see ahead, they know where the obstacles are and the challenges are, and they make a plan and negotiate it. Okay, now we don't have the brain of a deer, do we? We're able to see ahead. We're able to make a plan with the Lord. We're able to discern how to get there. And so he's saying, I want you like a deer, so agile, but even beyond a deer, I want you to focus on the high place so that you can get there, and I'm going to get you there, and I'm going to give you the discernment and everything you need, the guidance, the forevision, the planning. If we in our own understanding, we're done. He says, do not lean on your understanding, and I will direct your path. I will take you. And one scripture even says, I'll make your steps so sure that you'll get exactly where you're going if you just trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's the picture. Now, it's a beautiful picture. It's just simple metaphors, right? David, he's looking up or remembers how the deer climbs and finds out, wow, this thing is so agile. Look how easily it climbs. And then he says, he makes my feet like that. Okay? Just a beautiful picture of God. This is, if you get nothing out of this is God working on David to make him the person he wants him to be. Okay? Equipping him and doing everything that David needs to do to achieve what God has called him to do. Okay? You should be asking yourself, what does God call me to do? Is there anything that God would call you to do that he wouldn't get you there?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you know, this Hind's Feet on High Places, written in 1955 by Hannah Hernard. Great book. It's an allegory, just like Pilgrim's Progress. Has anybody read it?
Yeah, I have.
I think Heidi has. So her name in the book, this key person in the book, who's on a journey, her name is Much Afraid. She has two companions, sorrow and suffering. And she has this loving shepherd guiding her through. The book is a story of a difficult life, a life full of challenges and trials. But in the midst of the journey, as she walks with sorrow and suffering, she discovers joy in the process, okay? Now, you're all a little older like me, most of you.
Except for two.
Maybe three, John. So it depends where we cut it off. Maybe Aaron too. You know life is not easy. Right? Listen, if you've been around 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, you know life kind of gets a little more difficult as you age. Okay? As I found out this week with, I shouldn't confess this, I won't confess it, I'm not believing or receiving it, okay? I'm just stating a fact. My doctor told me last year, I think, that I have severe arthritis in my shoulders and lower back. And I have discovered this week in cold, rainy weather that arthritis does not like cold, rainy weather. And I have been very much almost laid up on the couch because And I have discovered also in the process of struggling through the pain of inflammation and all that stuff, that praying in tongues really works. Okay? And that I will not allow this pain to take me to a place of debilitating me, that I will continue to do what God wants me to do.
Right.
Okay? And I don't know where you're at with the gift of tongues, but you know, when I got saved 3 months later, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's been, I'm going ever since. I realized more and more that the gift of tongues is a powerful weapon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that when I pray in the Spirit, I can defeat Satan and his attack on me. And so I want to encourage you, if it was not, and listen, I'm not just saying you know, however you do it, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but I had to go somewhere yesterday, and I got in my truck, and I was in pain. As soon as I get in my truck, I play the worship music, and all of a sudden, music goes off, and I just start warring in tongues. And within 5 minutes down the road, the pain is lifted, okay? And lots of you are shaking your head, because you know what I'm talking about. And I'm way ahead of myself, but God has given us powerful weapons to defeat the attacks of the enemy.
Right,
okay? And I'm just saying right now, right here, and whatever your theology is, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says that the gift of tongues is powerful.
It's for our souls.
Right.
Yeah.
And we need it. Yeah, we need to get serious about speaking in tongues. So if you're not a Pentecostal or charismatic, it's time to be one.
Amen.
He sets me in high places. God can lift you up and above and beyond those obstacles and the difficult walk of life. And that's what this Hannah Hernard, her story, Hinds Feet in High Place, that's what it's about. It's overcoming through the sorrow and the suffering. I'm going to choose joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, okay? Who girds me with strength? What is strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. He girds me with the joy of the Lord to keep going no matter what I'm feeling,
right.
Okay? And we need to choose that. And here's a little admonition. You can say, well, I'm going to choose joy, but I'm still going to not do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to relax and chillax and let the pain work its way. No. I'm going to continue to do what God has asked me to do, even through the pain, and discover in the pain, in the middle of the journey, that God is there with me and allowing me to do this, because greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world.
Yeah.
And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? And that's the message, really, this morning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because He wants to take the time to teach me how to walk through the difficult times of life. Okay, that's the message of this section. And David ascribes his victory to a God who takes his daughter or son and walks with them and teaches them and trains them. And he says that in, you know, Psalm 25 over and over. He instructs me. He teaches me. And there's only one way to be taught, friends. There's only one way to be taught of the Lord. That's to sit and allow the Lord to teach you.
Yeah.
Okay. And listen, for a guy who's able to do everything and has all his life just done everything, whatever I set my mind to do, I can do, and then to not be able to do something, I'm finding out I can do more if I sit with the Lord first, okay, and just go out and do it. Okay,
listen,
that's the message. Be still and know that I'm God. How can I be still and know that you're God? I'm going to be still and let you tell me that you're God. And I'm not. Okay? And you're going to teach me that you're God and you can do all things through me if I just submit to you. All right, verse 34. I love this. He trains my hands for battle. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bull. I love this scripture. There's just something about it. Right? He teaches my hands to make war, the New King James says. Or the message says, he shows me how to fight. Now, this is great. Like, I wrote, I just think of that, okay? I just think of that line. He trains me or teaches my hand to make war.
Mm-hmm.
He trains me for battle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you meditate on that line. Just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What is he really saying? He wants you in the fight.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you sitting back when the fight is on.
That's good.
Okay. He wants you to take the offensive position. Right? If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I need to be doing all that I can while he's strengthening me.
Yeah.
I cannot sit back and choose to not get in the game and in the battle. Okay? That's really what it's saying. He wants me to fight. He gives me skill, strength, courage, wisdom, determination, perseverance. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, they're not from the flesh. But they're mighty. Mighty for tearing down. Let me just read it. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh. Okay? These hands are not made for war. That's not what he's talking about.
That's right.
But divinely powerful for destruction of fortresses, we destroying everything that is raised up against the knowledge of God. What happens when you're sitting in a chair and you're feeling sorry for yourself and, oh God, I can't believe you allowed this to come on me. I'm just so frustrated. I'm so mad at you. No, no. That's not the attitude to have, okay? It's not the attitude. Thank you, Lord, you made me a warrior. Thank you, Lord, you're teaching me to fight. Thank
right,
you, Lord,
right,
that
right.
In the middle of this battle, you are equipping me to fight, mm-hmm. and I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Okay, you've got to rise up. Your warrior spirit that Jesus is inside you, he's a warrior. He defeated Satan. Okay. He defeated death. He defeats the enemy. Mm-hmm. He kicks Satan's butt. He kicks the evil spirits out. He heals. He does everything, okay, because he's all-powerful God. And we can't lay back because Jesus is inside of us. And so, you know, I'm just going to read Ephesians 6, verse 16, because it's also the next section. We take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. How do you defeat the enemy? He says, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles or arrows, darts of the evil one. Okay, faith. Faith destroys the enemy's plans. Okay, it's a shield. No, my God is bigger than you. And you hold it up, and these arrows that he's shooting at, which are usually shot at your mind to get you think you're
right,
not
right.
who you really are.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Satan wants to make you believe you're not who God says you are. Okay. That's how he discourages warriors, which we all are. Okay. You put up the faith. Well, here's where we go to the beginning again. Faith in who? Faith in God. Which God? The all-powerful, I can do anything because I'm God, God of the Bible. Right? Is there anything God can't do in this word? Can he speak to the wind and the storm and say,
right.
be still?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Can he send an angel and kill 185,000 people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just like that. He can take care of your enemies. I don't care how big your enemy is. He can do that. A poor widow who's about to die and ready to die, he can send a prophet there and say, fill your pitchers with oil.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to provide for you. Okay? You don't have to get in that place of defeatism. That's not what he wants. He wants to train you for battle. How do you train for battle? You go into the battle. You never know you can fight until you get in the fight. Right? And then if you never get in a fight, you never know what you got to learn for the next fight. You hear what I'm saying? It's okay to lose a fight once in a while, because then you know when the next fight comes, you're gonna be more equipped to get in the next fight.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody ever fight in your life?
Can I just say something, Mike?
Yes.
So at the beginning of the year, the Lord released a word, it's time. And part of that word was it's time to engage in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
The time of preparation is over. It's time to engage in the battle.
That's right.
It's time to use the sword I have given you. It's time to use the word of God
Amen.
That I've given you in that word to use it and meditate on it and study it and practice it.
Yes.
That was the word.
Amen. Yeah. So there it is. We're coming full circle.
Yep.
And I said at the very beginning of the year, you know, I look back and I said, we're gonna have a hard year. So
the
very first sermon of the year, it's going to be a tough year. And it's a tough year for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the end.
Yeah.
It's not a tough year because we're supposed to lay down and just let things happen. No, it's a tough year because God is training us for what's ahead.
Right.
And when these Esther cries and these cries that are happening all over and the youth are getting, or even as Aaron said, listen, Iran just invaded Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you noticed what's happening with Israel? Like the whole world hates Israel
right
now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's twisting what's happening and making Israel the bad guy.
Yeah,
it is in the book. The whole world is just like, it's like a little wick that's just waiting for fire to explode, and then poof, the whole world will be at war. There are many people very, very afraid. I'm not talking, you know, people in the church. I'm talking political leaders are saying, we have got to step in before World War III breaks out. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So Iran has nuclear weapons.
It's a very serious situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know who's on God's side.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
You don't know who's on Israel's side, because they speak out of both sides of their mouth.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But regardless, we are the people of God.
Yeah.
Okay. And who is the people of God? These are the ones who go to Esther conferences and cry out to the Lord, who get on their face before the Lord and cry. And what does the scripture say here? He trains my hands for war, for battle.
Yeah.
Listen, he's not teaching me to fight with a real sword. I don't fight with fleshly armor, okay? He says, we take up the shield of faith. That's how I use this hand. Or right hand, whatever you want to do. And I hold up faith and say, absolutely not, this is what the Word of God says, just like Jesus did. You know, Satan, you can say whatever you want, this is what God says.
Yes.
That's the shield of faith. I'm believing the Word of God, not you, Satan. I'm taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm standing on the Word of God, and I've got the shield in one hand, the sword in the other, and I'm wielding it and destroying the attacks of the enemy, whatever his lies are. I'm defeating them because I'm declaring the Word of God over my life. Okay?
Yep.
Friends, you can't just read the Word. You got to memorize some of them and get them in your spirit and hang on to those really powerful verses and say, absolutely not, this is what is written. Okay? It is written. Now get lost.
Amen.
That's what Jesus did. I don't think we're any better than him. So let's just do that. And then in verse 18 of 6, Ephesians 6, with all prayer and petition, okay, that's every prayer and petition you can think of, pray at all times in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In the Spirit. They can't just be, you know, little wimpy prayers. You got to be led of the Spirit of God and just pray. Pray and fight in the Spirit. So when I read this word, he trains my hands for battle. Here's what happens. First, the shield of faith, then the word of the Lord, and then that's how my hands are trained for battle. You know the little picture of the praying hands?
Mm-hmm.
That's the picture he wants. He wants us to be on our face, because we don't fight with weapons of the world. We fight on our knees. We defeat the enemy with everything that sets us up against the knowledge of God. We pray in the Spirit, and what comes out of us? Just the Spirit. The Spirit just speaks through us with groanings and utterances we can't even discern. We don't even know what we're saying, but we know that God is hearing and God is moving because we're praying in the Spirit according to the Spirit, okay? So when I read that, trains my hands for battle, I just have a picture of prayer. Are you with me?
Good.
It says in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Okay, there's a picture of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Draw near to God, resist the devil. Just get on your face and just pray that guy away. Friends, I believe there's a warrior inside of each one of us. His name is Jesus. All right, verse 35. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Shield literally comes from a verb that means to cover, surround, defend, protect. Okay.
It says sustains me.
Amen. And if you read the very beginning of the psalm, which I did, it says, God is my shield.
Mm-hmm.
God is my shield. Verse 30, he is a shield to all who take refuge in him. If you don't take refuge in him, he can't be your shield.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's a shield to protect you, to defend you, to surround you. It's just a beautiful picture. You can hide behind him. Okay, that's a great picture in the Bible of hiding behind the Lord. Your right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. Who's at the right hand of God? Jesus. Your high priest, your advocate, stands at the right hand of God, making intercession for you, defending you, going to the throne room on your behalf, interceding for you. That's who Jesus is, okay? He's at the right hand of God. And by the way, you're seated in him. Just a reminder, you're there too. And thy gentleness makes me great. That's a great word. It's a very interesting word.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, some translations say your condescension. Your condescension means with descent. You descend to me. You come to me and you comfort me. You calm me.
Yes.
You're gentle. Remember what Jesus said? Come to me All you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Okay? It's a picture of a gentle servant, gentle shepherd, who says, sheep, it's really brutal out there. Like, there's all kinds of things that can trip you up. You can get cut, you can fall off the cliffs, you can get stuck in a thorn bush. Like, come to me. Just come to me, yeah. Sit with me, let me, I'm gentle. You know, like the psalmist says, Isaiah says, he's a gentle shepherd who picks us up in his arms and holds us close.
Right.
It's that amazing picture. David knew him so intimately. Thy gentleness makes me great. Listen, it's not in the fighting that you become great.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gentleness of God when he's there with you in the quiet times. When you're sitting with him and listening to him. When he's speaking to you words of life and encouraging you. That's when you become great. Okay? You don't become great by your victories. You become great by the words of affirmation, the encouragement that the Lord gives you when you're sitting in his presence. Okay? And then you rise out of that. Even though when you're defeated, you might go there and it's been a rough week. And you just go back to your father and he just, in his gentleness, he says, Mike, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm here. And I want you to throw off your heaviness, your burdens, your mourning, and allow me to fill you with my joy, my strength. Allow me to just pick you up and walk with you and lead you. Just you've gone and you've done things your way. I want to walk with you. He said, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, such a beautiful picture. Come to me,
yes. All
you are weary and heavily, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and light. Don't pick up all that stuff that you want to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just wear yourself out. Allow me to be there. Okay, allow me to be there with you. Are you with me? This is our God. Last section. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped.
Mm-hmm.
You make a wide path. There's lots of room. It's not some narrow path. I mean, I'm not talking about that. It's this. He seems to remove the obstacles as you trust him. As you get to this place of intimacy with him, it's like, man, that obstacle's nothing. You just keep walking. I can go around. The path's so wide, he makes it so wide, and you just go around obstacles. It's just like, wow, look at it. Was so narrow and so difficult, and I had to look for every foot. I mean, it's the opposite, right, of like hind's feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the hind is looking for every place to set a foot, and all of a sudden, by the end of this section, it's like, wow, look at this path. It's like I can just go. There's nothing there. Why? Because the transition is God is leading me. I'm trusting the Lord, right? And I just think it's such a beautiful picture. You want to know why David was such a great man of God and why he did so many great things for God? Because he knew his God.
Mm-hmm.
And he trusted his God. No matter how rugged the terrain, no matter how difficult, no matter how, you know, you look at the path, you say, oh, this is so challenging. I don't know how I'm going to get from here to there. And then you start walking. Next thing you know, I'm just like floating over these obstacles. You don't even know how you're doing. God is with you. Okay? God is with you. And I want to encourage you, friends. I want to encourage you.
And David had a love for him that nowhere in the Old Testament, only 18:1, is that word love shown. That expresses tenderness and deep emotion and love. David had that love for God.
Right. I think that's good. That's
it.
A love relationship. Mm-hmm. Because you've entered a love relationship with him. He's like your husband. You're the bride, right? He's going to look after you. He's going to get you to the finish line. He's going to get you through those difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's only one response when you get to the end. I mean, he recounts how all the victories he's had. And really, this is the message. The victory. God leads me into victory.
Yeah.
If I let him lead me into victory. I can't be victorious on my own. So he gets to this point in verse 46. And it's just praise. The Lord lives and blessed be my rock. He's gone full circle, right? That's the way he started at the beginning. The Lord is my rock. Blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who executes vengeance for me, subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me up above those who rise up against me. There it is again. He lifts me up. Okay, sets me in high places. You rescue me from the violent men. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to thy name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Did you see yourself in there?
Mm-hmm.
You're his descendants of David through Christ. Okay, the son of David. You're in the son of David. You're also a king.
Yeah.
You ever see yourself like that? You need to read the first chapter of Revelation because we're a kingdom of priests. We're kings and priests. Okay? He gives great deliverance to his king. Shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Friends, I just want to encourage you. Again, maybe. Get to know your God. Get close to him. Run up to him. He's a dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a father, the perfect father. Yes, Sean.
I came across a thought that this writer had put out, and it was about the 6 days of creation with God, and then the Sabbath, and they numbered the days, day one, and what God did, and that he intentionally created man on the sixth day. And made Adam's first day was fully spent with God resting.
That's right.
Intentionally come and know God first, and then go out and
right.
I've said that many times in the last few months. There was a teaching I received about 20 years ago, and it was exactly that. The first thing God did after he made man was teach him to rest in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was so grievous to the Lord was, you get the picture after the fall, he would come down early in the morning and walk with him. And it's something different. As soon as the Lord steps down this time, it's like, Adam, where are you? What happened to this thing we used to have?
Mm-hmm.
Where I would come down and you, the first thing in the morning, you would spend time with me. What happened? And it's so true that because of sin, we are prone to make God the last thing. Or the thing after we tried our thing.
Yeah.
And God is saying to David, and we see what happens when David leans on his own understanding. It's not good. He teaches David, and David knows this, that early in the morning will I seek you. Right? As a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts for you. Early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I remember, I used to work at God. I shared this before. Sometimes you get up late and you go and you forget. You gotta start your day with the Lord, right? And I worked at Bell, and I got my job, my assignments, and I went out, and I'm all, you know, load up your truck and go, and you're kind of stressed because you're behind. And so I get to my job site, and it's early morning, it's like maybe 8 in the morning, and the sun is just like coming up over the hill, and I see this deer drinking and the steam coming off its body and out of its nose. And immediately I just think of Psalm 42, right? And as a deer pants for water, Lord, forgive me for not starting my day with you. And right there in my truck, I just sat and meditated on the Lord. And that I need to put him first, okay? God is so gracious. That's his gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
He just gives you a picture,
mm-hmm.
and he shows you, like, I need to be first. Your day's gonna be tough. I need to be first. Make me first. Let me be there with you, okay? And so, this is the grace of God. He just keeps calling you. And, you know, life is crazy. It gets hectic, and all kinds of things happen. But we really, and I've said this before, and so many people fight against it, the Lord needs to be first every morning. If we start our day with the Lord, it will be a totally different day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I just encourage you, if you go home and meditate on this, even these verses, read them. I think I got here 4 different translations. Go and read them and meditate. It's the best way to get to know your Lord is to meditate on his word and allow him to speak to you. And so I just leave that with you. Sum it up. You know, times are tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know they might get tougher. Okay? None of us are getting younger. But we're getting stronger.
Amen. 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 That's right.
And we're getting closer to our God. And
mm-hmm.
we're going to make it to the end. Nobody's going to be lost. Do not, in the middle of your trial, make God the enemy.
Right. That's right.
You can get mad at Satan all you want.
Right.
Don't
right,
get mad
right.
at God. Don't remove the only one who can heal you and equip you and teach you. Okay? You don't want to separate, you don't want to build a wall between you two. So I just encourage you, allow God to teach you. That's what he wants to do. Read Psalm 25. That's the whole thing is about that. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Instruct me in the way I should go. Okay. Last comments? Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Ken, yeah.
I just wanted to share, like, I think maybe was even talking about how God is with us all the time, right? He lives in us.
That's right.
Yep.
We're never separated.
That's right.
And so just like, that really, like, you know that, right? But that really touched my heart. And I was just I've been meditating on that. But it's really interesting because when Jim and I were on our trip and we were flying down, I do pray in tongues a lot. So, like, even through the flight, just praying in tongues off and on and stuff like that. And we did have turbulence as well. But at one point, I kind of was dozing off and stuff. And really strong, I heard the Holy Spirit pray now. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started praying, and I was praying in tongues because I wasn't really sure what I was praying for. And then, so the guy sitting beside me, I thought Jim and I might have, like, just nobody sitting beside us, and nobody was coming up. Oh, great. And then somebody comes. And I thought, oh, God, you are so funny.
Yeah.
It was this guy, and he had been drinking, so he was drunk. Yeah. And I thought, and he puts him beside me. Anyways, this is halfway through the flight. Really felt strong, like God said, start praying now. So I started praying, and then shortly after that, might have been 10 minutes later, this guy beside me, because we've been talking a little bit, right? The stewardess came up, and they were both male stewardess, and he just said to him, I want a drink now. Like, get me a water now. And all of a sudden, everything just rose up, like darkness, evil just kind of rose up. Mm-hmm. And there was this huge confrontation. And they were about to get into a fight, and I just put my hand on the guy. Mm-hmm. And I said, settle. I don't know, I said something. Mm-hmm. And there was, all this stuff was going on, but everything just calmed right down. Mm-hmm. And so then I knew why I had to pray, mm-hmm. like really earnestly. And he spoke to me, he said to me, you have to bind back the evil in this man beside mm-hmm. you. He spoke clearly to me, and that's when I started praying. Because mm-hmm. I thought, well, I know that he's struggling.
Yeah.
But I wasn't afraid mm-hmm. or anything. It was God was preparing for this whole mm-hmm. confrontation. And then everything mm-hmm. got calmed down. It was really amazing because they were about to get into a fight. On the plane.
I know.
I've never seen that before.
This happens a lot. It's in the news all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyways, it was really cool because later, like when we were getting off, they actually had the security come in for this guy and everything. And this stewardess said, thank you for the escalating situation. And praise I thought, God. Oh, that was God,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That was totally God. So, and we saw that throughout our trip. People, God placed people in our path that were Christians that we could minister to. Mm. So it was just, even I brought my Bible that I don't think looks like a Bible every day to the beach. And we had this lady walk up to us and said, is that a Bible? And I said, yeah. And she said, I'm a believer too. And we ended up having an amazing conversation with her. We met other believers. And just that God is in us. And right, the light, right. like we could see who each other were
yeah.
on the trip. It was
everywhere
so
you
amazing.
In the world, you've got a brother and sister. It's
yeah,
amazing.
It was really amazing
yeah. Amen. Amen, yes. That's exactly the message I've been preaching for a while now. I think we need to be really aware that he's in us.
Yeah.
And everything we do, everything we think, everything we say needs to be filtered through him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll shine his lights mm-hmm. in the world. So, praise God, yeah.
And when we were on the beach, again, some other people saw my Bible. And again, I don't, like, does this look like a Bible?
It's not pink, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's just kind of... Anyways, and it's falling apart and everything, but there was some men behind me, and they obviously saw, because I was reading the Bible every day, and they ended up having this massive conversation,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking loud the whole time, and when they started to talk about the Bible,
mm-hmm.
everything got quiet, and they were just having this really in-depth conversation with God and the Word of God and the Bible, and I thought, wow, that was... I didn't have to do anything. I just had to bring my Bible. And things were happening.
That's great. It's got power.
Yeah, exactly.
So
All right, praise the Lord. All the worship team, and then we'll have lunch.